tonight, we are looking at this idea that we find all throughout Scripture, that if you are in Christ, you are adopted. You are adopted. This is a weird thing, probably, to continue on with our second week. You might be thinking, Dave, why are we talking about being adopted? This is a really weird one to be continuing on with in your second week. But if you are in Christ, irrelevant of what your childhood is, has been, or even of what you're aware of within yourself, you are adopted if you are in Christ. Now the Father, He had such an intense love for the Son, Christ Jesus, that He said when Jesus was baptized, that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father loved the Son intensely. There was a fierce love that the Father had for the Son. And now when we are in Christ, we have that same love being poured out upon us. We are now being viewed, because we are in Christ, as sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted. Now, adoption is probably often a weird term for a lot of us to think about. I've heard people talk about adoption as almost a second best kind of option. But if you go to any parent who has adopted a child, I can guarantee you, I've heard this from them myself. If you go to any parent who has adopted a child, you will hear them say, I love this child as fiercely and ferociously as I would my own biological child. I love this child in such a real way. And it's no different when God looks upon us. God looks upon us, and now because we are in Christ, He views us as His sons and His daughters. We are now adopted into Christ. He loves us as much as He does when He looks down upon Jesus and said, in you I am well pleased. When you are adopted, you are now a fully legitimate child of the King. You are fathered. This is the next thing, what it means to be adopted. You are fathered. You have a father. And this is no small father that we have here. We are children of the King of Kings. Do you get that? You are the child of a king, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything, the creator who breathes out stars, who creates small little, itsy bitsy teeny little molecules. He is your father. The king over absolutely everything is your dad. We are able to call him our father. We are now sons and daughters of the king. Now when we talk about God being our father, often we can say this in a fairly apathetic sort of way and just say it out of routine. Yeah, God's my father. He's a really good father to me. And we've been taught to pray, God, my father. But when Jesus said to the Jews that we should be praying, God, my father, that was a huge mind shift change for those people back then, where suddenly there was a relationship between the people and their God, where suddenly these people were saying, God, I am your child now. There was a huge mind shift change when Jesus came on the picture. But so often, we can just say it in a fairly apathetic way, God, my Father. And it can just be a little bit strange when we talk like this, because a lot of the time, what can happen is we might post on Facebook or Instagram, look at my photo. I'm with some second-rate B-class star, and I'm so proud of it. And then you get 150 likes on Instagram, and it's like the best thing in the world. You might post a photo of yourself with some random music star that no one else has really heard of, but you're just so happy. I've gotten a picture with this amazing person that's just so incredible. We can just be so amazed that we can get photos and talk to some random person. Even if we are speaking to the most famous person in the world, we would get amazingly excited about this. And that's not a bad thing, to have have happened, but how much more excited should we be that God, the King of Kings, is your Father? That is a heck of a lot more exciting than meeting anyone here on this earth. And I reckon it would just be so cool if we just took selfies, just saying, chilling with Dad right now, and then you get 150 likes. I reckon that'd be so much better, just chilling with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is an exciting thing to have God as your father, to have God as your dad. But what does it really mean to have God as a father? I understand for many of you, you might have had a whole heap of different understandings of what a father means. You might think that a father's love for his children is just a really soppy kind of love. You may have never really experienced in your own life what a father's love might look like. But the Father's love that comes from God is not just some little soppy, pansy kind of love. It is a strong, ferocious love that He has for His children. Quite a few years ago, when I was in grade four, I was going to a little school down on the bayside of Brisbane, and our school was right next to another high school. And I had this routine when I was in primary school where I would walk half of the way home and then my dad would pick me up halfway through and then drive me the rest of the way home. Now, one thing you have to understand about my dad has a fairly, I don't know the right word, Neil-like physique. He is a big, good stocky man with big muscles. That's a compliment, brother, right there. That's a good compliment for you. The other thing that you have to understand about my family is that we are quite boisterously loud kind of fellows a lot of the time. No one here would believe that, really, would you? My dad is quite a loud kind of fellow, and my dad never, ever needed to yell at me or give me a smack for anything, because if I got my dad's glare straight away, I knew something was up and I needed to stop exactly what I was doing. This is the kind of person who is my dad. His name is Jim. Now, one more thing you have to understand about my dad is he was a chef for years and years. And what he moved into for the latter part of his working life is he began training people in being a chef at a TAFE. And there was one day in particular, I don't think he had had a very, very good day. And on this day, I was walking home part of the way from school. So I was just walking my own merry little way, a little 9-year-old grade 4 kid, just walking half of the way home. And what had some older kids decided to do? There was probably some 16 or 17-year-olds on their bikes, probably a group of about 5 or 6 of them, who thought it would be really funny and that they were so manly to be able to pick on a 10-year-old. So these guys rode their bikes around me, started pushing me around and asking me if I wanted to fight. These guys were so buff. I mean, 17-year-olds picking on a 10-year-old. What geniuses. So these guys were pushing me around and all this kind of stuff. But one thing that they didn't realize was that my dad was picking me up halfway along. And my dad was able to see every single thing that was going on. Now, my dad had a day. I have no idea what the heck he had been doing, but he was wearing steel caps, and usually his uniform was nice and white, but there was blood all over it. I'm pretty sure he'd been slaughtering some hectic things. And these kids had no idea that my dad was coming up behind them to tell them off. So meanwhile, these kids are pushing me around and all this kind of stuff, and my dad comes up behind them and he yells ferociously. And I have never seen a group of about 5 17-year-olds cry so quickly in my entire life. It was a wonderful experience for me to enjoy. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Jim. And so what happened is my dad yelled at these kids, and he looked very menacing and very threatening. And then he walked me away and said, "Son, are you okay? Are you doing all right?" And I just said to him, "Dad, these kids asked me if I wanted to fight." And my dad said, "Okay, just head off to the car, son." And he turned back around and went back to these kids again. And he decided, "I'm gonna tell these kids off again." And he said to them, "Boys, if you want to fight, you can take me on. You can take me on. Just bring it on, kids. That's fine." Meanwhile, yeah, blood all over his clothes and all this kind of stuff. So they had no idea what he'd been doing throughout the day. Now, when we talk about the love of God, yes, he loves us in an intimate, deep way. But he is a protective father as well. He is a father who will hold on to his children, who will hold them close to him and protect them no matter what comes their way. He is a good father who fiercely and ferociously loves his children. He is a good, good father. A passage in Galatians says this: "Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ," what we spoke about last week. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery until the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is no small love that God has for his children. It is a fierce love that he has for us. And our Father, our Dad in heaven, the creator of everything, loved us enough with a fierce love, enough to die for us. What an intense love by a good father. But he didn't just die for us to make us okay-ish. He didn't just die for us to just make us a little bit, tiny bit better so that we're just okay. He has moved us, as it tells us in this passage right here in Galatians, is he has moved us from slavery in sin to being a child of God. So previously, we were wearing rags. We had nothing going for ourselves. And so much of the time we can try and reach up towards God. But what he has done is he has moved us by his grace to being a child, an heir of God. We're now in riches because of what God has done for us. We are now children of God, heirs of an almighty king. And I want you guys to know here tonight, no matter what your earthly experience has been with your father, if you've had the best dad in the world, if you've had a dad who's run out and you've never seen him ever again, if you've had a father who was an abusive father, I just want you to know that God is the true and better father. Even the best dad on this earth is merely a shadow of the true father that we have in heaven, the true God who we are now children of. He is the God who is our Father, and He loves us enough to adopt us and make us His children and have Him as our Father. We don't just become fathered when we become adopted into Christ's economy, but we also become part of a family. We are adopted not just into sonship with the Father, but also into relationship with a family. Now, being adopted into a family doesn't sound quite as sweet as being adopted by a king. It sounds really great. Yeah, I've been adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then you find out that you have brothers and sisters as well. That doesn't sound quite as pretty or quite as nice. And the reason for this is that every single family has issues. The best family in the world has issues. Who here has a brother or a sister or both? You lovely people. You lovely people. You do understand what it is like. A few years ago, my brother and I, we were at home together, just the two of us. And being the older one of the two of us, he's 6 years older than me. And one thing that my brother had done previously is he'd gone off to the Army Reserve. Now, for the Army Reserve, you have to do a heck of a lot of training and become a little bit buff and shave your head as well. Now, my brother had done all these kinds of things, so he thought it was fair to just pick on me more and more regularly. But this was at the same stage when I was buffing up myself just a tiny little bit, and I thought I had a bit of muscle on myself as well. And my brother, he just kept hitting me on the back of the head one day, just trying to annoy me as older brothers do. You older brothers, make sure you don't do this to your younger brothers. He just kept doing this on the back of my head. And I had just had enough, so I swung back and I hit him square in the face. It was a great moment for me as a younger brother to get back at my older brother. I swung back and I hit him hard. I ended up giving him a black eye. It was good. And what happened straight out of this is it was on. I turned back around and my brother, having the same kind of eyes that me and my dad have, these rage-filled eyes, that's what happened straight away, these rage-filled eyes. Came straight away, and it was on between the two of us. We had a big, big brawl. But what happened at the end of this fight is he was on top of me like this, and I was underneath like this, about to punch him as well. But straight at this point, when he was on top of me and I was about to get my face pummeled in, we both just started to laugh. Girls probably don't understand this as well. This is what boys do. If you ever need boys to resolve something, just shove them in a room for a while and let them punch one another, okay? That's conflict 101 for church management, okay? That's not true. Sorry, Phil. That's what brothers do. We had this massive conflict and we fought it out, and then straight afterwards we were laughing our heads off, thinking, how silly is this that we have been doing this? Now, families are not always a cruisy, easy thing to be a part of. It's not the most nice thing to always be a part of. There is often conflict and difficulty and uncertainty and different types of personalities in a family. But one thing that we have to understand is when we are adopted, when we are now in Christ and when we are adopted, then we also gain brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is called the church. Right now, you are sitting next to brothers and sisters in Christ. You're sitting next to family. When we talk about This Is Home, and we went through that series called This Is Home, we also have to understand is that when you are in Christ, when you are adopted, you are also part of a family. And this family is not always pretty. It is often messy, and there can be difficult things because we are difficult people, every single one of us. But what it means for us as followers of Christ is that you are guaranteed to always have people looking out for you. You are guaranteed to always have spiritual aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters who will invest into you and who will love you and who will care for you. That is what the church is all about. The church, as a family at its very best, is amazing. It means that the older are investing into the younger. It means that the younger are bringing energy to the older, and it means that there is community between brothers and sisters. And for me, there's one guy I know particularly when I was preparing for this. One guy, and his name is Peter. He's in his 80s right now, and he is the most boring person I've ever spoken to in my entire life. But I tell you what, he loves Jesus. He loves Jesus. I have learned so much from this man. He has a heart for Jesus. And man, we would not hang out and go to the movies. But he loves the Lord so much. And I've learned so much from him. And that is what the church is all about. We're not all similar. We're all very, very different people, but all of us have stuff to give to one another. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We are the church. And our job as the church is to do what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has blessed our socks off. And our job as the church is to spend as much time as we can blessing one another. That is the point of family. Families work best when their interest is in blessing the other person. That is when family works at its best. We are here as a family to bless one another. And families work best when everyone is for one another. That is the goal of the family of God. Our goal as the family of God, in families, your preferences do not come first. I have personal preferences about a whole heap of different things. But in the church, as a family, my preferences don't matter a heck of a lot. And the reason for this is because I want to bless those around me. That is what the family of God is all about, blessing one another. The church is not a club. It is not something where we just come and have social activities. It is a family of God where we bless one another and have community with one another and love one another and put the other person before myself. That is what it is all about, to have a family. I just think it would be so great if people saw us as the church blessing one another. And then we left this place and people referred to us here at Life Point Baptist as, hey, those guys, they're those Jesus people. They're that Jesus family. That is what the church should be. So they're the first two things about what it means to be adopted sons and daughters of Christ. First, that we are fathered. Second, that we are part of a family, and finally, that we have an inheritance. Ephesians 1:3-10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. When I got married about a year and a half ago, I was not the most wise financial person in the world. I had previously just bought a car and I was not doing too well in the realm of savings. My wonderful wife, however, even though she had only had a part-time job, she was managing to save a lot more money than me. Now, one wonderful thing that happens when you get married is suddenly everything that both of you have becomes each other's. So as soon as I said those words, "I do," suddenly my bank account went whoop. Suddenly, in that one moment when I said "I do," I gained a heck of a lot more money into my savings. Everything that she had was mine. And when we place our trust in Jesus, we gain every spiritual blessing. And if you want to know how far these spiritual blessings spread, then all you need to do is ask God. What we hear so much in the Word of God is that you do not have because you do not ask. And God has promised us in His Word that we have to our name every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so often we cannot experience these spiritual blessings because we do not ask. Jesus has called us to ask for what He has promised to us. Now, for me on my wedding day, if I had said to my beautiful wife, Sarah, "I am marrying you just because my bank account can go," she would not have been a very impressed little cookie. She would have not been very happy with me if my vows had said, "I take you, Sarah, because you have money, because you have stuff that I can get." And the same is true in our relationship with God. We do not come to God for the things that we get from Him. Yes, there are spiritual blessings that flow from a relationship with Jesus, but the ultimate reason that we come to God is because we get God. That is the ultimate blessing that we get when we have relationship with Jesus, when we are in Christ, when we are adopted. Yes, we have an inheritance, but the best inheritance is God Himself. He is the ultimate inheritance. Ultimately, we come to God not for what rewards we can get from Him, but because He Himself is the ultimate reward. There are spiritual blessings that have been promised to us by God, but God Himself is the Father whom we are to love and acknowledge as great and thank for everything that He has done for us. We are to love Him primarily, and then the spiritual blessings flow from that. And it is so important for us as people of God, when we are in Christ, to know that when we are adopted by an incredible Father, that we've been adopted into a family called the church, and we are called to bless one another, and we have also been adopted into an inheritance. And you might be here tonight, and you might think that everything I'm saying right now is totally irrelevant. You're thinking, "I've never really experienced God as Father. I don't get what that means." And tonight, later on, Pastor Phil's going to come and give you the opportunity to make that step to becoming in Christ and then experiencing God as Father. That is a step that all of us have to make if we're going to understand who God really is. I'm just going to invite the music team to come up right now. And that's the key thing for us all to remember. If you are in Christ, you have been adopted into a family with a great God. And I just want to finish with one more quick story. A few years ago, I was doing outside school hours care, and I used to take care of kids before and after school. That was my job for about a year. And in the meantime, I had the wondrous opportunity to be able to watch midday television. There's not much on at midday. You generally have either Oprah or Dr. Phil to listen to, to watch. And there was this one day where Oprah was on, and I decided to flick over to this show and watch what was going on. And one thing that Oprah loves to do is that she loves to give away free things. And on this day that I was watching this show, I don't recommend it for regular watching, is one thing that she chose to do is she said, "Everybody look under your seat and see what's there." And every single person reached under their seat and everyone was given a free iPod. Well, these people went crazy. There was people jumping up and down and rejoicing. They were hugging one another. They were crying. And the whole time you're watching this and thinking, you have gotten a free iPod. Why are you so excited? And for us, as followers of Christ, we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. How much more excited should we be about that than some people who get a free iPod? Really, who cares? It's going to break in a couple of years anyway. But our spiritual blessings in Christ are never going to fade. They're going to last forever and ever and ever. And your relationship with the King is never going to fade. Your adoption into sonship and daughtership is never going to go away. And He's always going to view you as a son and a daughter. You now have a King who is your Father. And I think that is something worth getting excited about. That is the thing worth getting excited about. Not just because we get every spiritual blessing in Christ, but because we get Christ Himself.